Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, March 13th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Activists are gearing up for the peace march in Salem this Sunday.
The International Fisheries Commission weighs in on the science of salmon and sea lions.
That would be the Intertribal Fisheries Commission. And the G20 summit gets underway this weekend.
Portland area weather, increasing clouds later in the day, highs in the 50s. Tonight, cloudy, occasional rain, lows in the 30s and 40s. This weekend, rain, snow in the mountains, and lows around 35.
And first we go to headlines from around Cascadia. This Sunday, peace activists from across the state will converge in Salem to demand that Oregon's National Guard stay in Oregon. Michelle Dahl will be on the steps of the Capitol, as she is every day and every night, to greet the peace marchers. Michelle, of all people, has made the most serious commitment imaginable, holding a vigil and a fast to bring the Guard home ever since last November. Michelle joins us this morning from Camp Homebound on the steps of the state capitol. Good morning, Michelle. How goes it down there?
Good morning, Chris. Things are going very well. We had a hearing the other day, and we have the first hearing for House Bill 2556, and so that seemed to go very well. We had some very powerful testimony, as well as we are generating a lot of bipartisan support. And so there's some exciting momentum, and so we are really looking forward to this Sunday and Monday when there will be a legislative visit day, and people will be converging on these 2 days to let the general population and their legislators know how they feel on this issue, which is of just urgency.
Well, briefly tell listeners, if you wouldn't mind, what the bill 2556 actually is.
Well, what it is it's a bill that is the legislature giving the governor the backing and support to keep the Guard home in the event of an illegal deployment and to challenge an illegal federal deployment, the federal call-up of the Guard. And this has bipartisan support. It has most notably Chip Shields and Dennis Richardson as the primary people who are behind it.
Thank you so much for that, Michelle. We'll be seeing you then on Sunday. A lot of people from around the Portland area, I know, will be going down there. So we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for being with us by phone this morning.
The Oregon National Primate Research Center has lost the latest round with PETA and other animal rights activists. The U.S. Department of Agriculture issued a warning letter to the Primate Center for violations of the Animal Welfare Act, which regulates treatment of commercial animals from kittens to guinea pigs. It may not seem like much of a victory, but compared with the Department of Agriculture does sweet nothing, it's a start.
Several major lenders have halted new foreclosures, but still the number of households threatened with losing their homes rose 30% in February from last year's levels. While foreclosures are highly concentrated in the western states and Florida, the problem is spreading to other states like Idaho, Illinois, and Oregon as the U.S. economy worsens. Apparently, even the American dream includes fine print.
The net worth of American households fell by the largest amount in more than 50 years of record-keeping during the fourth quarter of last year. The Federal Reserve said that household net worth dropped by a record 9% from the level in the third quarter. But that's just 95% of the population. Everyone else is doing fine.
Are these people trying to be funny? A billion-dollar rare money show is coming to Portland. Given that the state is currently running at a 10% unemployment rate, isn't all money pretty rare?
You can move a ton of freight 410 miles on a gallon of fuel on a train. That fact may be lost on most Americans, but not on people in Coos Bay. The Oregon International Port of Coos Bay will get $8 million from the feds to help build a rail line, or rather to buy the rail line that runs from Eugene to Coquille. That's not an earmark, that's just common sense. Without the line, area manufacturers have faced higher shipping costs by truck.
Salmon are running and emotions are running high over the sea lion issue. The Intertribal Fisheries Commission sees the animals as a problem, but has a different perspective and a different approach to solving that problem. With me this morning to talk about it are Sarah Thompson, Public Information Officer, and Doug Hutch, Senior Fisheries Scientist with the Columbia River Intertribal Fisheries Commission. Good morning, Sarah. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for being with us. Talk a little bit, if you will, about the Intertribal Fisheries Commission's approach to how they view the salmon situation, sea lions, and so forth.
Well, Chris, it's unfortunate that the sea lion predation problem has gotten so far out of hand that it has come to this. We understand that this has been a long process that has happened and occurred over the past 2 years, and that this is not an easy decision that has been made. The tribes are involved with the situation at Bonneville Dam through an active hazing program, and we're introducing some new technologies this year through research that we're really hoping will bring some insight into what exactly is going on.
So the tribes don't euthanize sea lions, or how do they handle it? What does the hazing consist of?
We're involved in a non-lethal hazing program where you shoot projectiles, basically they're a firecracker that's shot out of a shotgun to try and spook the sea lions downstream, and then there's also underwater pyrotechnics involved as well, and trying to herd the animals away from the dam and downstream to where the fish aren't as concentrated and less vulnerable. The euthanasia is part of a Section 120 authorization through the Marine Mammal Protection Act that only the states are involved with.
Thank you so much for that. The hazing part sounds sort of, I don't know, fun. My guests are Sarah Thompson, Public Information Officer, and Doug Hutch, Senior Fisheries Scientist with the Columbia River Intertribal Fisheries Commission. Thanks to both of you for being with us today.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Wildlife officials put down their first salmon-eating sea lion. They killed the protected marine mammal with a lethal injection after a health examination determined that it could not be relocated to a zoo or aquarium. The California sea lion was on a list of 73 that habitually prey on endangered fish below Bonneville Dam. Next up, a list of humans who regularly prey on fish.
Sea lions or not, there won't be much of a salmon season for fishermen off much of the Oregon coast and the California coast for the second consecutive year. The Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted three options for this year's ocean salmon season in a meeting in Seattle yesterday. The options virtually shut down sport and commercial fishing off the coast of California and may offer limited commercial and sport salmon fishing in Oregon.
The Oregon House voted yesterday to end the Electoral College system in favor of the popular vote in electing a U.S. president. House Bill 2588 passed 39-19. Now it moves to the Senate. Four states have endorsed legislation to ban the current system, which awards all the electoral college votes in a state to one candidate. Supporters say that they need this right now because presidential candidates spend too much time in toss-up vote-rich states.
The head of the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, an agency which few of us have ever heard of before, says he's improving the agency's approach to investigating hazards. This after residents of contaminated regions all across the nation told Congress yesterday that the agency's failings have imperiled people's health. Brad Miller, chairman of the House Science and Technology Subcommittee on Investigations and Oversight, says that the registry engages in, get this, poor science reflecting a keenness to please industries and government agencies that prefer to minimize public health consequences of environmental exposures.
Progressives, don't get too comfortable. And be careful when you think about cannibalizing the Democratic Party. GOP Chairman Michael Steele is in Oregon for a party fundraiser. Steele says Republicans can win statewide elections, including the 2010 governor's race, despite Democrats' quarter-million voter advantage. And he could be right. The left has a track record when it comes to whining itself into irrelevance.
We're always shooting ourselves in the foot just when things are going well. The G20 nations meet this weekend. The topic, of course, is a financial meltdown. The question, though, isn't where did all the money go, but where did it come from in the first place? Other G20 member nations feel that they've added up enough stimulus for now. They want to see the world's banking system reformed. The U.S. wants more money poured into it. KBOO's Spencer Raymond joins us by phone this morning to make sense of it all. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, you said it. There's really two camps have developed here inside the G20. And just a side point, the leaders of the G20, so that means the presidents, Obama, Gordon Brown, Sarkozy, those kind of the leaders, they're meeting on April 2nd. Who's meeting right now are the financial chiefs for the countries. Obama's top economic advisor, Larry Summers, is meeting with other G20 officials right now on the question, is another stimulus needed? Is a worldwide coordinated stimulus needed or some sort of banking reform? The U.S., China, and Japan have jumped on board for this kind of coordinated worldwide stimulus idea. And if you remember, a couple months ago when this economic crisis started, China, along with the U.S., was one of the first to push a stimulus through. Japan is also suggesting a $200 billion stimulus in their own country. So it's Japan, China, and the United States. Those three should sound familiar because they're the top three economies in the world.
And Japan, of all nations, yeah. Japan really ought to know where it's coming from
and
on this issue.
Chris, they're at odds against Europe, who says, you know what, we've given enough money. Europe as a whole has committed about $40 billion total for the whole economic stimulus. While the U.S. is over, close to $800 billion. So it's the European nations who think, like you said, we've put enough stimulus in. It's time to start reforming. Although the U.S. has some positive results they can report. I mean, Citibank just saying last night that it doesn't look like they'll need any more money. Bank of America also reporting yesterday that it looks like they're going to turn a profit here in the first quarter. So as far as U.S. banks are concerned, it seems like they're reaping the benefits from the bailout money, from the stimulus money. So it's going to be an interesting discussion as the G20 financial leaders meet.
Thank you so much for that. That, of course, is KBOO Spencer Raymond joining us as he does every weekday morning with DC Dirt. Thanks, Spencer. Just the last few headlines here because it's important.
A U.S. missile strike destroyed a training camp in northwest Pakistan, killing 15 and wounding another 50.
And OPEC is meeting in Vienna this Sunday. They've got a tough choice. They can slash output to boost revenue, or they can risk deepening the world's financial woes.
Switzerland, the world's largest financial center, has agreed to accept concessions on bank secrecy.
And the European Union finance ministers have backed a call to double the money in the International Monetary Fund.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday the 13th, March 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Catherine Austin Fitz on Bernie Madoff, the permanent war economy, and a Bush administration executive assassination ring. Former CIA operative Ray McGovern discusses AIPAC and their attack on Chaz Freeman, and an interview with a human rights attorney from Haiti.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day. See you in Salem.